This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. And this morning I have Lydia with me. But before I bring Lydia on, I am on a mission to sell 1 million books of my Smile with Dictation book, which means, yeah, that's all that means. And what that book basically is a how-to guide on how I write books. Because you guys have been asking me, well, since you have cerebral palsy, you can't type books. How do you do it? So I finally listened to my fan base, and then I finally wrote a book, and then rescued it from my editor and dropped it on Draft Digital, published it last Friday when I was stuck at home on my official snow day. So now I'm on a mission to sell 1 million copies of it by June 22nd, which happens to be my 32nd birthday. So if you guys can help me, the books to read / win link will be in the show notes. I'm having my assistant put it in the show notes. So if you guys can click on it, buy a copy, and then share it out with your network, that would be wonderful. But enough of my programming announcement. I'm going to let Miss Lydia take it away.
Good morning.
Good morning. And so can you please explain to my fan base more of what you do?
So I am a full-time freelance writer and author. I self-published my first book in 2015, and then I self-published my second book in 2016. I'm sorry, 2017. And then last year I went full-time with freelance writing. I do a lot of ghostwriting, article writing, blog writing, things like that for clients. And I've been working on moving my writing career from self-publishing to traditional publishing. And about a month ago, I signed for a 3-book contract with a small startup publishing company, LM Vintage Publishers. So I've written over 75 novels for clients. Two of the series that I've written for clients have gone on to become Amazon bestsellers. So now this year it's kind of focusing on my work. So starting to get my books promoted and advance my writing career. I just recently accepted an internship position with literary agent Paige Wheeler. And so that's a 12-week internship. So I'm learning a lot about traditional publishing from sort of that angle of the publishing community. So it's been quite a journey for my writing career. I finished up my master's degree in English and creative writing May 12th this year. I graduated with my bachelor's in English and creative writing last year. So it's all starting. I'm starting to move my career to traditional publishing.
Well, congratulations on that, because I know you heard my programming announcement at the beginning, and you know how difficult it is, Lydia, to get books in front of eyes when you're self-published. So congratulations on all your accomplishments in the writing world, especially signing a 2-book deal, because these small self-independent publishers are always looking out for new little fishies that they can train and they can work and they can sculpt. And in the next couple of months, you guys, I'm actually signing with a small publisher because I want to see what they can do with my books when I'm under the auspices of them. They are Stonewall Press. If you guys want to go look them up, you can. But Because it's so difficult for Lydia and I and all the rest of the self-published authors out there, we just need all the help we can get. So, Lydia, what has been your biggest accomplishment in all this?
I would say my biggest accomplishment was the decision to go back to school. When I graduated last year, it was sort of that surreal feeling of I did it. And then, but it didn't stop there. I mean, it was, okay, I graduated with my bachelor's and I'm the first of my family to graduate with a college degree. So at the time, it didn't really register. And it was that thought of, okay, that's one more milestone towards the career that I want as a career author. So it was okay. Now I'm going to go back to school for my master's degree. I'm going to keep pushing with that. And then I've even had the thought of, maybe someday in the future pursuing a PhD in creative writing. So I would definitely say it was the decision to go back to school because if, about 10 years ago, when I graduated high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had an idea, but it was that sense of why would I go and get a degree? What would I do with a creative writing degree? That it's not a practical degree, which that's what I heard a lot from people of, what are you going to do with this kind of a degree? And so I didn't go and I didn't go. And then, I made the decision 3 years ago to finally go back to school. And I said, this is what I want. I've kind of always known this is what I want and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to self-publish a book this year. And it's been, I would definitely say that the education has been the greatest achievement because it's opened up so many doors. I mean, it was how I was first introduced to freelancing and could I ever make a business out of the freelancing industry? It's so competitive. And I've had some great professors at school of, just really encouraging the writing and building on that every year of school that I've accomplished. And so I would say that getting that degree last year, and then again in a couple months, that's been the biggest achievement so far.
And Lydia, where did you go to school so we can give the creative writing program a huge shout out?
Southern New Hampshire University, one of the best, one of the best aspects of SNHU is their online program. So I've been able to work and I'm a single mother. So, I've been able to do it all online. And for people who are thinking about, if they want to seriously consider becoming a career author and writer, they have an amazing creative writing program. And I will say it is a lot of hard work. You get out of school what you put into it. But somebody once said to me that once you have an education, nobody can take it away from you. And that really rings true. I mean, that's something that has always resonated with me because now that I have it, I have all of these opportunities ahead of me as far as my pursuit of being a career author. So I really advocate for, people going and getting that bachelor's degree and then if they decide, going even further than that. So
It's so funny because I'm going back to journalism school myself at the Academy of Arts in San Francisco online, even though I'm stuck out here in Aspen, Colorado. Although I shouldn't say stuck, it's pretty beautiful in the wintertime. But I'm going back to the Academy of Arts. I'll be done with my associate's degree in December, and then I'm actually looking at Southern New Hampshire University for my creative writing degree, and I'm also looking at Folsom University. So you guys can tell me whether Folsom is good. I hear from Lydia and I hear from everyone else that Southern New Hampshire has the best creative writing program. So it's interesting because the Academy of Arts has an excellent journalism program as well.
Yes, I think education is, it really depends on what you put into. I don't know a lot about Full Sail, so I can't really speak to that program, but I think with especially with college classes, that it's really, you have to put the time and the effort in. I mean, there's the due dates every Thursday night for the discussion group and every Sunday night for your regular assignments, but it's not just about just meet those two deadlines. I mean, you really have to be thinking about the course material throughout the week, and not just the course material, but in the creative writing program, when you get to sort of start your own stories and chapters of stories and stuff like that, it's really important to be thinking of how is this story not only going to benefit my writing career right now, but how is this going to benefit my writing career in the future? Is this something that, I want to take and I want to expand upon because this story is, it's here in my heart and it's something that just isn't going away. So I've actually come up with several story ideas this way, and some of the manuscripts that I've worked on, I've been able to bring to these classes and say, hey, in a peer critique group, I've gotten some really great advice on some of these stories. So it's been able to that has been beneficial to me in my professional career. So it really all ties together if you really incorporate your academics into your professional career and into your daily life. You can take inspiration from your life and bring it full circle to all aspects of your life. So I really advocate for education. Some people find it difficult to be able to go back to school, and I am one of those people where I have student loans that someday they're going to have to be all paid off, but I think it's worth it. So yeah, I think if Full Sail is a college that really meets your needs, then I will never be one to say, don't do it or don't go for it. So, yeah, that's.
But I was, here's my plan, you guys. Once I'm done with my associate's degree, I was going to go to Full Sail to get my bachelor's and then get my master's degree out of Southern New Hampshire University because, as you guys heard from Lydia, they have a wonderful master's program and a wonderful bachelor's degree program. And so I want to ask you, if you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
If I had to be educated by
Yes.
somebody, why? I've had a bad experience. It wasn't within the academic community, but it was a learning experience. Actually, the manuscript for one of the books that just got picked up by the publishing company, I had sent it out to an editor who was associated with a literary agency, and I'm not going to name names because it just doesn't seem appropriate to me. But the learning experience came when this entire manuscript was supposed to be edited, and I went around and around with this editor for 6 months, and she said right up front to me, she didn't like fantasy. She didn't understand it. It wasn't her genre. But she would do the editing because I had paid for it. I went back and forth with this woman for 6 months, and we only made it through the first half of chapter one. She had me completely write out the romance and the fantasy from the story and just focus on the core story, which I think was fine. But then after those 6 months, where it was just this back and forth of, trying to capture what it was that she was having me edit and what it was, what her vision of the story was, it wasn't working. And so what the lesson, the education that I took from that was, there are going to be people in the publishing industry, in the writing industry, who aren't your people. So like with any sort of relationship in life, I think you're going to find people who work well with you and then people who don't. And what you need to take from that, the you know, when you decide that, you know, these people, I'm not getting something from them that I need from them. I'm not getting the education that I'm not learning what I need to learn from them. It's okay to kind of step back and say, this isn't working and this person is not the right person for me. That doesn't make them wrong. It doesn't make what they do any less valuable to the industry that we're in. It means that they're not the right person to help you on your journey in this industry. So having that experience really taught me that, you know, just because it was a bad experience doesn't mean that I didn't learn from it. It just meant that was not the right editor for me. And then I went on and I found an amazing editor who I absolutely love. And so it's sort of those stepping stones through this industry. As you learn more and more about the industry, as you learn more and more about your own writing career and your own writing style and what you need from all of the people that can contribute to that writing career, you're going to learn the people that you need to have around you to really advance that career.
I like that. I like that because, yeah. Yeah, because I'm working on my next book and it's a little stuck at the editors right now. But I work with two editors who I absolutely love. Shelley Allen is one of them of the Ruthless Red Pen. Huge shout out to her. You can actually hear her speak on this podcast, you guys, if you want to work with her. And then Dulcie Duchant, who did a project that I was involved with many, 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 many years ago now, called The Slush Heap. And it was a full-on YouTube video series. And I believe that the person she had done it with, I believe they're still up. So you can actually see me talking about my books. I was on there twice. And so if you want more information about Dorsey, you can email me or DM me, or you can get a hold of me and I'll give you those two editors' information. Because as you said, you need to find the right editor. You need to find the right editor. I mean, we're not having children in a sense, but these books are babies. And we work so hard on these books, and you work so hard on your clients' books that your clients trust you as the book their godmother, or as the book godmother to their books, that they need to find the right ghostwriter, they need to find the right editor. And so if the editor doesn't match, yup, the click was on a panel, in my opinion.
Exactly. I mean, I think the most important thing to think about in this regard is that at the end of the day, the story is still your story. The story is always going to be the writer's story. And it's perfectly okay if somebody else would write a different story. But if it's your baby, if it's your book baby, it's, you know, those people that you bring around me, those are the people, you know, or around yourself, those are the people that they need to at least understand your vision. They might not agree with all of the story. They might not like parts of the story. And that's okay too, because every reader is going to take away something different from every story. But they need to respect that it's still your story. So when you're not getting that respect, that's when you need to reconsider, is this person going to help me see this vision of this book through? And I'm kind of at that process right now with one of my manuscripts where, you know, I'm querying this manuscript out to agents, because my next step in my writing career is to go from the small publisher and to obtain a literary agent and then eventually go for one of the bigger publishing companies. So people, there needs to be respect between both parties, between the editors, the agents, the beta readers, and because there's integrity in your work. You put so many hours into making these stories into something that, you know, when a reader picks the book up, they're not going to put it down. So there's a lot of integrity in that work. And I think that idea of having that integrity and having that drive for the work when shopping around for an editor or an agent or something like that, that mutual respect comes with the knowledge that, you know, it's a working relationship. It's not, you aren't working for them, they aren't working for you, it's a relationship. And that really needs to be cultivated so that both parties can get, you know, the maximum amount of benefits from this working relationship to really bring your work, that story that you've worked so hard on, into the publishing industry in whatever capacity, whether it's self-publishing, traditional publishing, you know, any venue, I guess, for the publishing world, and really bring it to light for the reader so that it finds a reader base who's going to pick it up and just absolutely fall in love with it. So yes, I think the lesson with learning the different dynamics between editors, agents, writers, authors, you know, all beta readers, is remembering work ethic, work integrity, and respecting that.
Well, I agree with you, Linnea. And what has been your favorite chapter in your own book that you have done?
My favorite chapter in my own book. Well, I think it would be, I think it's probably in my current manuscript, and it's the main character, and she meets this, essentially she meets Satan, and the story premise is, you know, what if the fate of the world rests on the redemption of one demon soul? So she's a demon, but she's working to atone for her sins so that she can go to heaven. And she ends up meeting Satan, and Satan explains to her that he chose her to save the world from the apocalypse because she's not the hero. She's not the woman who's going to ride in with the cape and the, you know, just looking like this really bad, you know, courageous person that, you know, she has faults and she has feelings, and she, you know, essentially she wasn't the good guy at the beginning, but it's because she's so flawed that's why he chose her, because she can relate to other people. She, you know, she doesn't walk on one side or the other. She's messed up, and she has to work to make that right. And one of the things that I endeavor to do with all of my books is there's sort of that fundamental lesson or theme or moray within the story of, I don't just want my books to be something where readers can escape. And I think that's really important for readers to be able to do. I write urban fantasy, you know, it's that sort of escapism from reality. But it's also that I want my readers to be able to take the lessons that they learn in my books and be able to apply them to their own life and their own circumstances. And, you know, and to be able to sit there and say, you know, maybe I've really struggled, but I can still be the champion here. I can still overcome whatever is going on in my life that, you know, in the end, it's going to be somehow, it's going to be okay, even if it's not in the way that I expected it to be. So that's, you know, that's really my favorite chapter is when, you know, Satan's talking to my main character and he says, you know, not everybody gets to be the hero, but that's okay. Because if everybody got to wear the cape, then who would be left for the heroes to save? So.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, where can people find you? And if they want to get a hold of you to ghostwrite and do all that jazz, where could people find you?
I'm all over social media. I'm on Twitter and it's at Lydia Stevens 121. I'm on Facebook. I have my regular page, which is just Lydia Stevens, but then I also have an author page, which is at author Lydia Stevens, and that's Lydia. I have my own website, which is http://www.lydia-stevens.com. There's a contact form on my website. You can send me an email. You can email my author email, which is authorlydiastevens@gmail.com. What else? I'm on LinkedIn. You can message me through LinkedIn, just under Lydia Stevens. And I am on Instagram, but I don't remember my Instagram thing. I think it's Lydia.
That's okay. Yeah. You gave all the social medias. All the social medias are connected to your website?
Yes, they are. So if people want to visit my website, the only one that's not connected to my website yet is I have a specific Facebook page. It's called Creative Content Critiques. And Creative Content Critiques and Consulting. So it's an actual Facebook page. I'm editing my website now so that a link should be put on my website to be able to send people for the ghostwriting aspect, or if they just want, you know, they want a critique for a query letter, or they want some help critiquing a synopsis, or, you know, that Facebook web page has all of that information for those services on that particular page. But the website is more my author website, okay. But I will be putting something on it so that people can find that creative content critiques and consulting. So, yeah, you should be able to contact me through the website.
Before I let you go back to your amazing land of writing, do you have any questions for me?
I do. So what set you on this path of doing podcasts and radio? I did take a look at your profile and I see that you're a fashion journalist and that you're doing this podcast and that you've got a bunch of websites. So I was kind of curious what got you onto your path of writing.
I wrote a book back in 2010, I Come a Win. And because I just made a bowl of pasta and threw into the wall and saw that it stuck. Well, the ball of pasta stuck. I Come a Win stuck to the wall and did wonderful. And then complete strangers started asking me, how do you do so well with your physical disability, which is ataxia spastic cerebral palsy, aka CP for short. Don't Google it, you guys. That will just send you down a rabbit hole that you kind of don't want to go down. So that's why I started this podcast, mm-hmm. because I wanted to do people like yourself and learn and educate myself and mix my story within these podcast interviews. And as I said, I just dropped another book, Smile with Dictation, aka Simply Siri. And it's all about how to use dictation to write books. So if you guys want to go pick that up, you're more than welcome to it. Because I was dictating books before speech to text came on the scene. I mean, I remember dictating iComma Win at iPhone number one. And so if you know how rough Siri was in iPhone number one, imagine dictating a book.
Right. I have tried dictation before on my phone, and I use multiple sort of venues for writing. You know, I am that girl with the sticky notes everywhere and the pad and the paper beside my bed with the pegboard, and I'll be out and about and just an idea will pop into my head. And then, you know, and then I'm voice recording and then I listen to it later. So I really commend you, because I listen to my stuff later and I'm like, what was I thinking? So I really commend you for being able to do that. I think, you know, as writers, we find what our comfort level is in terms of how we write and what we use to write. And so to, you know, to be able to do that, especially with the, with your cerebral palsy, that's, you know, that's amazing. That's incredible that you can do an entire book that way.
And I also use Dragon, naturally speaking, on my laptop, which is good.
Yeah.
And the technology in someone was asking me yesterday, Meta Austin, the Austin community, Monk LaFame, who also works at Draft Digital, was asking me yesterday, because his episode with me drops on Friday, and he was asking me yesterday, how do you think the technology has changed over the 8 years? I said, oh my God, it's like changed a million miles a minute, because now I don't have to fight Siri. Now I don't have to fight Dragon, naturally speaking. You just have to train your dragon, so to speak. And no, we're not talking about kids movie. And for me to train Dragon, naturally speaking, it took about a good 2 hours, but I sat down and I was patient with it. Siri recognizes my voice right out of the box. Like if I'm on a Mac and I turn Siri on, recognizes my voice right out of the box. So you don't have to train Siri, naturally speaking, you do. And Lydia, I let you officially go, I have one more question for you. Are you a Prada or a Panther?
I am a Panther, very much. I
You're
actually
in my
have
camp to then.
Yes.
You're
I have
my
a
camp then.
I actually developed a workshop. It's called The Pandemonium of a Panther, Making the Madness into a Manuscript. And it's someday I might shop it around to seminars and things like that to see if anybody's interested in having me put this workshop on, because it's you know, we get so caught up in plot and outline, and I really commend people that can do that. I have written plot for clients, actually one of my current clients, that's what I do is plot writing. But when it comes to my own material, I can't do that. I sit and I write, and that is what I do. I just sit and I write. I don't think about, you know, this chapter or that chapter. I have to just sit at my laptop or my computer and just go, because that's the way my brain works with my own material. So having to switch on that plotter is tedious.
I did not plot Smile with Dictation. I'm so sorry. I like you, Lydia, applaud the people that plot and do outlines, but I'm in your camp then. I just go and make sense of it later. Go, 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 and then make sense of it later. And then send it to a ghostwriter, send it to an editor, and I help them make sense of it. But I'm in your pond, your camp, and I'm potting, panting, and not potting. The outline would take me an hour to write. And I'm like, I want to ask someone that question so I don't feel so bad about myself.
No,
I wanted to ask someone so I don't feel so bad. I'm like, I can't be the only one that pantses.
I love the etymology of that word panther, you know, writing by the seat of your pants. It's just wonderful because, you know, when I get into that writing mood and I sit down and I go, I think the longest writing session that I have ever done, what as far as pantsing, was 6 hours. I sat down and then 6 hours later I looked up and I blinked and I looked around and I'm like, okay, I need coffee, I need food, I need a bathroom, I need to know my name. really get lost in just the story, and it's that sort of fugue state where, you know, it's just, there's nothing. The world drops away and all it is you in the story. And that's such a wonderful feeling when you come out of that and you realize just the amount of work that you've gotten done. And I'm sure that plotters feel the same thing. They have their plot and then they sit down and they write and they get into that mode of just, you know, word after word, and it builds the story. But I find it more satisfying when I'm pantsing, when I'm just sitting down and I just go. And like I said, you know, the ideas, they pop up all over the place. So, you know, I've got notebooks, I've got sticky notes, I've got my little note app on my phone. I've got, you know, it's being a pantser is, I laugh because I tell people, you know, I get to listen to the voices in my head and I get paid for it. So, you know, people hear me
talking.
I get
to listen to the voice.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I get to listen to the voice in my head and I don't write it down because I'm a terrible hand writer. Also, that's why I pants. And I get paid for it at the end of the month. Yeah. This is my second job. My second job, and I want to step away from the education field and be a full-time author and be a full-time journalist. That's my hope.
Yes. Well, I think just based on talking to you and looking, you know, looking at your profiles and stuff like that, you're well on your way to it's not just a hope, but you're realizing and actualizing a dream and a goal in your life. And a literary agent, I went to the Writer's Digest conference in New York City in August in 2018. And one of the literary agents there said something really profound. She said that, you know, it's not just about the hope and the dream. You know, when you realize that being an author or being a writer is a career you want, then you have obtainable goals. Then you can say to yourself, okay, this is where I am in my professional career as an author, because it is. It's a professional career. It's a business. It is a lucrative business. And so if you look at it that way and you say, when I sit down to write about my vampires or my werewolves or, you know, Nepal or something like that, you're not just creating a story, you're progressing in your career. And I think we get lost in sort of the sensationalism of, you know, these superstar authors of, you know, how did they do it? But, you know, when we take that away and we think about our own writing and our own career, it really is something that can be worked towards, you know, improving the craft and getting, you know, a reader base and, you know, learning about the process. And being a pantser, you can still learn about being a pantser. I think, you know, people get really caught up in, I have to learn how to plot and I have to learn how to plot really well. Yes, there is truth to that. But, you know, as a pantser myself, it's learning, okay, when does the inspiration strike? And for me, for whatever reason, it's always at 3:30 in the morning. You know, I wake up and there's something going on in my head with my characters and they're chatting and I don't get back to sleep until I write it down. So I had to learn, okay, you need to keep something beside the bed so that you can write this down so you can go back to sleep, because in 2 hours, the 7-year-old's going to jump on your head. So it really is about, you know, learning how to best work towards those goals. And I think, you know, with your podcast, you've got your fan base with your podcast, you've got books out, you've got, you know, just all of these things where, you know, you've got your schooling coming. All of these things are really progressing you towards that actualization of being a career author. And you're already an author. I think, you know, people get confused with that line of self-publishing versus traditional publishing, but you're still published. You are still an author. So, you know, I think when you can say to yourself, I'm an author, then you can take that and you can say, okay, I'm an author. How am I going to make this into a career? And you're doing that with your podcast and your social media and your fan base. So, I mean, that's really something to be lauded, because, you know, that's an amazing, your journey is an amazing journey. And when you first contacted me, I, you know, I was looking into your profiles and things like that. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. So I really appreciate you having me on your podcast. That's
my goal in 2019 is to interview as many authors as I can, self-publish or traditionally published. You guys, I take my traditional published authors. I have my questions for them too, but I know how difficult it is as a self-published author myself to get publicity for your books and publicity for your work. So I would like to thank you for coming on AskWin and sharing your knowledge. And we'll have all of Leslie's information in the show notes. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know a couple of you, I know one person out there who gets a huge shout out from me, Rebecca, who is legally blind. She's actually a priest. And she was so inspired by my episode with Monk LaFave of Draft the Doodle that she tweeted the writers community and said, guess what? I got to kick in the ass to write my novel. Thank you, Ask Win, aka Win. And so, yeah. So I know that you guys are getting, you know, little kicks in the ass from me, and I got my ass kicked by Monk LaFave, and he goes, you need to make time to write. I said, I know I do. So that's why I dropped Simply Silly for you guys, and Smile with Dictation for you guys to teach you guys how I do it, because I want other people to be authors too, and I want people to use Lydia as a ghostwriter, or use my editor, or use my ghostwriter. And so maybe Lydia and I could talk offline to see how she could help me, and we'll see how my work progresses. But I really appreciate you guys listening and getting inspired to write your own books. And of course, we'll have my book in the show notes. We'll have Danielle's book in the show notes. You guys can either buy a book or give a donation via PayPal, either one. Buy Danielle's book, buy my book. That makes us both happy, because at the end of the month, we get paid anyway. So, and I just hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you, Lydia, for coming on and sharing your knowledge. Now I'm going to let you go back to your wonderful land of words, and we'll keep tabs, and we'll make sure you get signed and everything else. And yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Bye. All right.